You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network, and good afternoon. My colleague, Todd Alba, with the fine program before this one today, spent a goodly amount of time talking about yet another school shooting. I cannot freaking believe that I have to talk about this stuff again. There was a shooting at Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis early this morning. A shooter killed two children ages 8 and 10 and injured at least 17, 14 of whom are children before killing himself. The shooter, armed with a rifle, shotgun, and pistol, approached the side of a church and shot through the windows toward the children sitting in pews praying during their school's morning mass. The school was evacuated and students' families were later directed to a reunification zone at the school. President Donald Trump in Minnesota, Governor Tim Walz said in separate social media posts that they had been briefed on the shooting. Trump has ordered flags to fly at half staff. Yep, keep sending those thoughts and prayers, but let's not do a damn thing about the guns. I just don't get it. This also being reported by Dan O'Donnell that the gunman apparently wrote Rupno on one of his guns, an apparent reference to Natalie Rupno, the teenager who shot and killed two people and then herself this past December at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison, Wisconsin. Tony Evers, our governor here in Wisconsin, released a statement on X. It read this: I've been briefed on a shooting at Annunciation Catholic School and will continue to provide updates as we get more information. The BCA and State Patrol are on scene. I'm praying for our kids and teachers whose first week of school was marred by this horrific act of violence. I don't know if you all remember Trey Gowdy. I do. I don't think I've ever agreed with anything the man has had to say, or very little. But he was on Fox News this morning, where he now works. And Mr. Gowdy had this to say. Let's take cut 8. Jacob, you got that cut. This is Trey Gowdy this morning on Fox News. Is it possible that we've got that?
Reactive. Something bad happens, we react to it. And what people are crying for now is, how can we prevent this? How can we stop it? And the only way to stop it is to identify the shooter ahead of time or keep the weapons out of their hands. And so we're going to have a conversation of freedom versus protecting children. I mean, how many school shootings does it take before we're going to have a conversation about keeping firearms out? It's always a young white male, almost always. I mean, did anyone this morning think, I wonder if that was a female? Did any of y'all think that? I mean, there's been one school shooting involving a female.
Tennessee.
But other than that, it is usually young white males.
When Trey Gowdy can figure it out, you think we all might be able to figure it out. Yes, of course, we have many problems. Our healthcare system isn't designed to deliver mental health treatment. It's still stigmatized in many corners of our society. Sometimes mental health treatment, or when it comes to intensive inpatient mental health care, most of our employer-based insurance programs will boot you out after a time. So our system sucks at mental health care. But even the unwell person can get a weapon in this country. It takes the two things together. Like, what part of that is not clear to people? And I do not believe in taking people's guns away from them, except if you are a compromised, seriously mentally unwell person. What the heck is wrong with background checks, with red flag laws, with closing the gun show loophole, with regulating magazines that enable mass shootings to be possible, by eliminating ghost guns? These are basic things. None of that touches anybody's right to own a gun recreationally, who wants to store it responsibly. It doesn't impact hunters. None of the stuff that is a legal purpose for holding a gun. But can we talk about some regulation that might address these kinds of acts of barbarity? I didn't think today I was going to have to be talking about this or saying to you I agree with Trey Gowdy. And mind you, that clip of Trey Gowdy on Fox News this morning talking about this and saying, we have a choice between freedom and protecting kids. First of all, that is such an oversimplification. But if we want to put it in those terms, when does your right to own, I don't know, military-style weapons start impinging on our kids' rights to be safe? That your liberty makes it okay to deprive kids of their lives? Can't we do both things through common sense, centrist policies? I have freaking had it. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Cam is on the line. Welcome to the show this afternoon, Cam. What you got for us?
Hey, Maggie. Thanks for taking my call. I have watched over a few hundred hours of content relating to incels, mass shootings, and just kind of the overall arcing mindset that a lot of these people go through. Natalie being referenced is not really a surprise to me. It's special in that they did write a lot of stuff on their guns, but it was in an attempt to obfuscate everything. However, I think the one truth there was that they did do this, giving a shout out, quote unquote, to Natalie, because Natalie specifically was special in that for some reason, a lot of these people online latched onto her and call her their queen, quote unquote. And,
I mean, can I ask you a question? Since I refuse to go down like the 8chan and the I feel like I sort of swim in the news and so much of this difficult stuff. That's a bridge too far for me. You've looked at some of it, Cam. What the hell is wrong with someone who wants to celebrate someone who kills children? Like, what? Why is that even among, listen, we've always had social outcasts, right, in society through all of recorded human history. But we've also generally agreed that killing kids is bad. What is going on in these chat rooms and in these communication platforms where it has become okay and something to be celebrated that someone took a gun, walked into a school today, a church, while children were praying and killed them? What's the context there? I don't get it.
The short answer there is they wanted a high score. They wanted a high score specifically, and that's what they called it. They specifically picked that place, I think, one, because they graduated from there and their mom had retired from there, so they're familiar with it, and two, they picked that place because the high score was more achievable in their eyes against people that couldn't defend as easily against them when they come in shooting.
And by score, are you literally meaning number of people killed?
Yes, literally that because they try getting higher and higher. Ever since Elliot Rodgers, they try to get higher and higher.
So thanks so much, Cam. I appreciate that. Well, that brings me to my point. If the objective here amongst these mass shooters is body count, then that tells you exactly what kind of regulation we need. Maybe we need some of these elected officials to sit down with knowledgeable folks like Cam who have been courageous enough to wade through this crap on these internet sites and sit there with an elected official and show them what these people are talking about. Because if it's about body count, that's magazine size. That's automatic weapon. That is shooting as many bullets in as short a period of time as possible. It's picking sitting ducks. That's why they're picking schools. And the solution, ladies and gentlemen, is not police officers in schools. It just isn't. That's not going to solve the problem. I'm going to take a break. This is so enraging. And by the way, apparently there is a now deleted social media post by the shooter, a video telling his supporters to vote for MAGA House Texas candidate Brandon Herrera, who's known as the AK guy. He's a YouTuber, a firearm manufacturer, host of a podcast starting in November 2023. Yeah, gives him a big shout out. So y'all should vote for Brandon Herrera for president. And he ends by saying, F those kids. This normalization and celebration of violence, this acceptance of this kind of killing, when we know what the objective is, per cam, it's volume of deaths. If that's what they're talking about, and it's volume of deaths, and we're going to pick people in churches and synagogues and schools because they are defenseless, the solution isn't more guns and more violence. The solution is to regulate the guns that allow mass shootings to occur. I've had it. This is enough. Thank you, Donald Trump, for putting the American flag at half mast. Why don't you do something about it? To the AK guy, listen, if you want to own an AK because it's fun and you want to go out and shoot that, why can't you go through a background check? Why can't we still have red flag laws? Why can't you register that weapon? Why can't we restrict massive magazines? None of these things should be incompatible. Responsible gun ownership and all of those things, we can do both things. And I'm always going to reject any politician, Democrat, independent, libertarian, or Republican, or MAGA, or whomever you are, that says we can only have one of those two things. I think our kids should be able to be safe in school and people can safely and responsibly exercise their Second Amendment rights. If we are a great American nation, we should be able to do hard things, and this should be one of them. When we come back, I'm going to take a break, take a breath, and I'm going to give you some of today's other breaking news. You want to join me this afternoon? We've got a great show, great guests lined up for you. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Do you know Donald Trump has got basically agents in Greenland trying to foment a separatist movement? That's interesting. We'll talk about it on the flip side. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. Welcome if you're just joining me. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Before the end of the show, in the last block today, I'm going to have some other thoughts on this terrible tragedy in Minnesota today. I've seen some folks out there speculating that, gee whiz, this might provide a really interesting excuse for Donald Trump to, I don't know, send National Guard troops to Minnesota. That's a blue state. In any case, I wanted to share some of the other breaking news that is going on today. This is pretty shocking. Denmark has just summoned the top U.S. diplomat for Denmark after revelations that Trump-linked Americans have been running covert separatist ops in Greenland. Let me explain. These individuals are accused of compiling lists of pro- and anti-Trump Greenlanders, cultivating local politicians, and pushing narratives to weaken ties with Denmark to strengthen calls for separation from Grand Denmark and to basically, you know, advanced Donald Trump's weird fixation with annexing Greenland. Denmark calling this, quote, unacceptable interference. By the way, Denmark is a NATO member. What is going on? This kind of activity would arguably violate numerous international laws. It would violate the NATO treaty. This was all reported by the Danish public broadcaster DR. There are at least three Americans linked personally to Trump, again, have been seeking to find recruits for an annexationist movement. This is intended to, quote, penetrate Greenlandic society in order to weaken relations with Denmark from within and make Greenlanders submit to the United States. A source is told the DR, this is the Danish public broadcaster DR, that the Trump administration is believed to be pursuing a three-pronged strategy to take over Greenland. The first phase is believed to have comprised of a charm offensive, which included Donald Trump's visit to Nuuk in January 2025. I'm sorry if I'm not pronouncing that name of the city right. The second phase is said to be a pressure campaign exemplified by J.D. Vance's visit to Pituffkik. I know I'm saying that one wrong, in March of 2025, where he was strongly critical of Denmark's role in Greenland, which is an autonomously governed component of the Danish realm, kind of similar to the Faroe Islands. The claimed infiltration strategy is said to be a third phase in which pre-existing Greenlandic independence movement is to be covertly supported. Pro-annexation supporters are to be identified and discord created in the relationship between Greenland and Denmark. According to DR, it is not thought at present that the U.S. will attempt a takeover of Greenland by force. Denmark and other European allies have recently been stepping up their military presence in and around the island to protect themselves from us? What? And by the way, this is the same three-pronged strategy that every invading force basically tries to deploy in some way, shape, or form. It's what spy masters do. You foment discontent with a standing government to eventually, hopefully, bring about the different objective or different leadership, or in this case, you know, U.S. control of a sovereign nation's land. This one just blew my mind. Surprised? No. Pretty shocking? Absolutely. My goodness. Anyways, that's in the foreign policy realm. Taking our view back more locally and nationally, Trump is extending control over Washington by taking over management of Union Station. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy announcing that. In addition, apparently now the National Guard in D.C. finding, well, not that much crime to fight, even though they're now armed, are what? On trash patrol and graffiti cleanup. What? I don't think that's what they signed up for. In fact, pretty certain nobody signed up for the National Guard to go pick up garbage. Pretty sure. And hey, if you were thinking about planning your vaccination schedule this fall, as we approach school season, the fall season and flu season, and we return to school, yeah, the COVID vaccine is now going to be limited, thanks to RFK Jr. and Donald Trump, to only the people at greatest risk. This means if you are, say, just a middle-aged person, very healthy, you have no pre-existing conditions, you can't get one. You cannot get a COVID vaccine. That seems to be the absolute antithesis of freedom, does it not? No, I'd like the vaccine that you previously approved because I don't want to die from this weird virus that keeps rotating around the planet and morphs every season into something new and pernicious and maybe life-threatening. No, I'd really like the vaccine. Well, you can go pound rocks. Thank you, RFK and Donald Trump. Unbelievable. I'm just going to say on that point, ladies and gentlemen, remember, self-advocacy with your healthcare providers is a thing. If you believe that you need to get that vaccine, have a conversation with your primary care physician, advocate for reasons, and ask the physician, what might qualify me to get that vaccine? I don't want anybody dying because Donald Trump and RFK are a bunch of conspiracy theorists that want to use public health as a wedge culture issue. Stupid. Whew. I'm going to take a little breather. We're going to come back. I'm going to be joined for today's installment of Broad Appeal by Representative Jody Emerson of the 91st Assembly District. She's been in that office since 2019. She's worked on human trafficking. We'll get her thoughts on a gamut of issues. When we return, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to the Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm so glad to have my next guest here with me on what is a troubling and trying day here in the news biz. Her name is Jody Emerson. She is the representative of the 91st Assembly District here in the state of Wisconsin's legislature. She's my special guest for this installment of Broad Appeal. Welcome to the show, Jody. Great to have you.
Thanks for having me, Maggie. And what a great name for a segment. I love it.
Yes. For those that haven't heard me talk about it before, I don't mean it in a cheeky way. I mean it literally. One, I call myself abroad, so I mean it with love and respect. And two, I think women as candidates, as leaders in politics, have a really broad appeal. They have a true call to service, especially when we see something in our communities that is not working as we wish it would. Let me just start there, since that's the topic that got queued up, Jody. You first ran and won back in 2019. This is a difficult political moment. It was a difficult political moment in 2019. I think it's only kind of exacerbated since then. Why get into politics when there's so much hate and division that seems to define our political discourse these days?
Yeah, so for me, running for public office wasn't anything I ever dreamed of. It wasn't on my, you know, bucket list or five-year plan or 10-year plan, anything like that. It really truly is about service to my community. It's something that I've always done, whether it's different volunteer roles of, you know, being the soccer manager, the PTA mom, whatever. Or as you mentioned before the break, my role in fighting human trafficking, that was about seeing something that was happening in my community and wanting to do something to make my community better. And when the position opened up in 2018 for the legislative district that I live in, I thought, you know what, this is just the next step in service for me. This isn't to give me a title. It wasn't because, you know, I was really upset about Trump being elected 2 years beforehand. It's about serving my community. And that's the hat that I try and wear as often as I can, to do constituent services, to bring good ideas that are happening in my district to Madison, to spread them around to the rest of the state. And honestly, it's what I love about this job. I mean, there's a few things that I don't love about this job, but being in and amongst my community, meeting people, hearing their stories, hearing their wins and their opportunities for improvement, and being able to help with that, that's community service, and that's what this job is about for me.
Folks, that is 91st Assembly District Representative Jody Emerson. Let's talk about your work in human trafficking. Please give some folks an insight into your background. And how did you find yourself becoming an advocate and an activist in the human trafficking space? It's not the first thing that would jump to mind for someone from Chippewa Falls that's got a husband and a couple of kids. Again, how did you come to this sort of work?
Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story. My husband's a longtime journalist. We are both very involved in our community. If my kids were involved in a project, you know, I was the Girl Scout leader. I was the PTA mom. I was the, you know, basketball manager, the soccer manager, whatever they were doing, I was involved in. And then my kids did this really rude thing and grew up. And, you know, decided that they needed to go to college and live their own lives. And I was like, well, shoot, my projects are leaving. Now what do I do with my life? And at the time, my husband was actually working on a story about this new group that was coming into our area, just really grassroots, just education and awareness about human trafficking. And we hear about it internationally. We hear about it in big cities. You don't think about it happening in the Chippewa Valley. And the more I learned about it, the more I realized it wasn't just happening in my town. It was happening in my neighborhood, and it was happening to girls that grew up with my girls. And that's where, like, the mama bear came out in me, and I was like, I can't let this happen without doing something about it. And so that's actually kind of how I got started the legislation as well. So I got involved in just educating myself, talking to schools, talking to hotels, talking to police, talking to anybody who would listen about human trafficking and learning about it, and learned that our laws in Wisconsin weren't really up to speed on what we needed to do to nail the bad guys in the digital age, and also to support victims of human trafficking. And so I got involved in policy, was part of the Attorney General's Task Force for Human Trafficking way back in, gosh, I think it was 2014, 2015, testified on some bills, really tried to get human trafficking and fighting that and understanding complex trauma and how that impacts decisions that people make or that they're forced to make. And, you know, I was down in Madison probably once a week dealing with policy and legislation. And so when Dana Walks, who was in this position before I was, decided he wanted to run for governor and this position opened up, I was like, shoot, I'm down in Madison enough the way that it is now. So let's do this. And it, for me, when I talk about community service, it really truly is something that does impact everything I do, everything my husband does. You know, we could make a lot more money doing other things, but we choose to serve our community, and that's truly important to us.
Folks, again, that's Jody Emerson, one of our state representatives, talking about her background in human trafficking. As long as we're talking about that, Jody, like, let's take some minutes and actually do a little public service announcement style information about this. For folks that work in hospitality, hotels, travel industry, are there some warning signs that people should be aware of if you suspect someone might be trafficked? What does it look like? What are some of those signals? And what should someone do if they see someone that they suspect may be being trafficked?
Yeah, so I think it's hard to say whether somebody is actually being trafficked unless you know a lot about their situation. But I think we always see situations where we're like, something's just not right there. Whether it's, you know, a bad relationship, an abusive relationship, somebody is struggling in some part of their life. And then you walk away and you go, gosh, 10, you know, a day later, you're like, I wish I would have said something to that person. So I think really about it, it's about leading with kindness, just reaching out, whether it's an unhoused person, somebody that seems like they're maybe having some situation going on, and just, you know, in the context of safety for yourself, first of all, I think that's mm-hmm. first and foremost. So important, but to just say, like, hey, is in whatever seems important at that moment, is there something I can do to help you? Are you okay? Do you need something? Sometimes even just a little conversation breaks apart what is happening. Maybe it's a, you know, a intimate partner argument or something like that. And just seeing that somebody else is seeing what is going on maybe stops that from happening. But, you know, it's about power and control. It's about not having control over your own body, your own decisions, and what's happening with you. So really, when we're looking at human trafficking, it's about a commercial sex act, for sex trafficking anyways, commercial sex act by force, fraud, or coercion. There's also labor trafficking that happens in our country. We think about that a lot of times overseas, you know, in sweat factories and things like that. But it can happen in the hospitality industry in our communities. It can happen on farms and things like that. And so, you know, it's about just being aware of your surroundings and kind of following your gut. Don't put yourself in danger, but reach out. And when I was working in the industry, we did a lot of training for hotels and restaurants, knowing what to see. You know, like a big red flag would be if somebody's trying to check in with cash and they say, well, I don't have it now, but if you give me an hour, I can have that cash. Probably a good red flag that something's maybe not right there. So, you know, having those relationships with your local support systems, whether that's a domestic violence shelter, whether it's a violence interrupter in your community, or whether it's your local law enforcement, having those interactions so that you know who to call when you see something is infinitely important.
It is so important. And beyond just the question of folks in vulnerable positions that may be trafficked, your beginning point was to be aware and sensitive to how other people might be doing and to basically ask someone, hey, are you okay? How are you? Is there something I can do to help you? Boy, do we need a lot of that. And actually,
it sounds like it's being a human, you know, and we need more of that in this world.
I mean, when did we get like lose that skill set of just being sensitive to what other people might be going through and ask them, are you okay? Is there anything I can do to help you? I really think, you know, especially in the context of the tragedy this morning in Minnesota, whether it's parents, acquaintances, coworkers, you see someone at your house of worship, wherever it may be, and they don't seem to be doing well, ask them. I have in my own life tried to do that in little ways. And sometimes people have said, no, I'm not okay. Please do X. Now, we get a little conditioned, especially here in, you know, Midwest nice. Oh, I'm fine. Nothing. Don't need anything. But that basic human connection and being aware of how others might be doing. Jody, I want to start the discussion a little bit. We're going to have to take care of a few messages. But to tease for everyone, what I have been finding through particularly this segment, which is every Wednesday at 4:30, we do Broad Appeal and I interview female political leaders, community leaders, electeds, all kinds of amazing women that are active in supporting and lifting up our communities. What I have found that many, many women who have been moms have found their way into politics and they are particularly good at it. So I want to talk a little bit about how being a mom and raising kids was such a great training ground for you as a politician. So we're going to have that conversation with our special guest, Jody Emerson, when we come back. But Jody, let me just start with this very micro question. What was your husband's response and your kids' response when you were like, you know, I think I want to run for office?
It was a process. Let's put it that way. It's because it wasn't ever on my radar. Like I had decided, I think I'm going to do this. And I think it took about a good 6 months of talking to them, to get them on board with it, just because it was going to be such a big change in our lives and, you know, how it would impact everybody, because we know, especially when women run, we get asked questions that the rest of people don't get asked. So we'll touch base on that soon.
Yes, we will talk about those questions that seem to be specially reserved for women with Representative Jody Emerson on today's installment of Broad Appeal. We come back on the other side. Don't go anywhere. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We're joined this half hour by Representative Jody Emerson of the 19th Assembly District. Representative, are you still there? Do we have you? We may have lost her. That happens sometime in live radio. Let me, instead, while we work to get her back, move to some breaking news. This is pretty incredible. The CDC director, who has been on the job for less than a month, has resigned. This is, and maybe it's not resigned. According to the Washington Post, it appears that she is being ousted just weeks into the job. Susan Monterez, the newly installed director of the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, is being ousted weeks after she was confirmed to lead the public health agency, according to multiple Trump administration officials familiar with the matter. The White House and Department of Health and Human Services, again, that's RFK, which oversees the CDC, did not immediately respond to requests for comments. The officials that spoke to the Post spoke on the condition of anonymity. Donald Trump had nominated Monterez, a longtime federal government scientist, after withdrawing his first pick for that position, former Republican Congressman Dave Weldon, who was criticized for his views on vaccines and autism. Monterez was just confirmed in July. There was an agency-wide call scheduled for Monday by Monterez, but that was canceled on Friday, according to various CDC employees who spoke on the condition of anonymity. The agency had also been reeling from another gunman's attack on that agency's Atlanta headquarters. That was on August 8th, which forced hundreds of workers into lockdown and left one police officer dead. Apparently, that shooting suspect was frustrated by the coronavirus vaccine and blamed it for his health problems. Thank you, RFK, according to law enforcement officials, neighbors, and his father. By the way, Donald Trump never addressed that shooting. Just saying. We do have Representative Emerson back. Thanks. We just did a little bit of breaking news here. Representative, thanks for your patience here. So we wanted to get into the experience of both being a candidate as a mom, and secondly, how does motherhood prepare you for what is the complex, both logistical and personality juggling act of being an elected official? So whichever you would like to tackle first, Representative.
Yeah. So, well, first of all, I have to say that my kids were older when I got involved in running for office. I applaud those who are able to do it with younger kids. I think me being 3 hours away from Madison made it a lot harder to think about doing this when they were younger. But my youngest was actually graduating from college the year that I was running for office the first time. And my oldest daughter was getting married that summer too. So I think as moms, as parents, you know, we just keep on taking on extra jobs and we add it to our list of things to do. And we dig in and we get to work. I think that's something that women are really good at multitasking, and moms in general too. So that was a piece of it, but you know, things have changed a little bit since I ran. I know I really try to work with up-and-coming candidates and recruiting people to run for office. And a lot of times women and moms are like, I don't want to put myself and I don't want to put my family through that. Some of the nasty vitriol that we get as we are running for office is just horrible. I've had people talk about my weight, about, you know, how could I do this to my family? I mean, I think, yeah, gosh, fighting for a better world. How could I do this to my family? You know, it's, when people have young kids and they're running for office, if they're a man, they are never asked, well, who's going to watch the kid? But women are asked that all the time. And I think as women, as progressive people, we need to check ourselves a little bit too. When you hear of a young person running for office, our first thought shouldn't ever be, well, how are they going to juggle everything? It should be, what qualifications do they have? And honestly, those of us who juggle a lot of stuff are perfectly, that's the perfect thing that we would want to look for in a candidate. Because, you know, as today started out, I started by showing County Executive David Crowley around a couple of things that are happening in the Chippewa Valley. And then I did a lunch with AFT members. And then I ran to a different part of my district and I met the governor to have a roundtable discussion about community block grant funding. And then I had a couple of meetings while I'm driving in my car back to Eau Claire. And I'm doing this interview with you folks at the same time. There's a panel discussion happening with members of AFL-CIO and AFT that as soon as we're done, I'll join again. So
yes.
Juggling things is what we do in this job. So
I have a number of dear friends that are elected officials, many of them women, and every single last one of them has heard some version of you can't possibly do this or been asked questions that a middle-aged white dude would simply never be asked. So folks, lighten up on the sexism, okay? Like, we got other bigger problems. Come on, that's maybe not bigger. I don't know. It's one of the isms plaguing this country right now. We can leave it at that. Jody Emerson, representative for the 19th Assembly District. Tell all of our friends at the AFL-CIO, happy early Labor Day to them. The fight continues in solidarity. Stick around. I'm going to be joined by former Republican Attorney General J.B. Van Hollen and former chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Mike Tate, to talk about how we save this democracy, small d, and each and every one of your roles in that fight. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.